Walter Storhold and Jeff Hamlin with you from Cardinal Gibbons High School as we are at halftime. It's homecoming night here for Cardinal Gibbons as well, so those festivities are taking place down on the field as we speak. It is 35-7 the score. Crusaders with a lead over Cedar Ridge. Jeff, your impressions from the first half. What do you take away?
Well, Cardinal Gibbons has an offense that is extremely well organized, and that's exactly what you would expect. And they have the perfect person to run it, Sean Stankavage, and he has the right amount of skill players out there. The only fault that you can say for Cardinal Gibbons is that they got a little bit lenient, I think, as this game wore on and it started making those silly penalties. But sometimes you're going to expect that from 14, 15, and 16-year-olds once they're up by four touchdowns. Stankavage, though, was excellent. As we take a look at his numbers from the first half of this game, I mean, when you get right down to it, he was 16 of 26 for 241, and those 10 incompletions came probably all within the last 6 minutes of the first half. He had some strong numbers. He had three touchdowns and one interception. So when you get right down to it, Cedar Ridge really was giving up a lot of skill. They didn't have the manpower coming into this game. We talked about that, and we understood why this team was a big underdog coming into this game, coming in off the loss to Riverside, and three losses all within one touchdown to East Chapel Hill and to Southern Vance, and then, of course, the game last week that Riverside wound up winning over them. Stankavage was 2 of 48 rushing the football. He was 16 of 26 for 241 yards passing in that first half. And Gibbons wound up rushing the ball pretty consistently as well. Six rushes for David Smith for 72 yards, 2 for 48 for Stankavage, and then Peyton Offnick had 35 yards rushing on four carries. So it's what you would expect for the most part. One of the things that Cedar Ridge coaches told me before their game against East Chapel Hill was, we got to get the numbers up. And if you don't have the manpower out there, then you're bound to struggle. And ever since Lou Gehry left Cedar Ridge, this is a program that has not had the numbers where they would like it. And it's quite unfortunate for them, because it wasn't all that long ago that this was a powerful football team.
It wasn't long ago at all. In fact, 2010, they had a very good season and went deeper than folks may have expected into the playoffs for the high school ranks, and that wasn't that long ago, 2010,
no.
Just a couple of years, and unfortunately they have fallen from grace a little bit. Ironic that that conversation that you had took place over at East Chapel Hill High School, which is a school that had a very similar problem through its first several years of existence. Seems like that problem has finally been fixed at East Chapel Hill, and you've seen the result on the field. More people coming out for the team, better product.
Yeah, better product, and we're seeing a lot of different things work over at East Chapel Hill right now. And one of the things that hurts East Chapel Hill in terms of participation in football is basically lacrosse, because a lot of players who would go out for the football team wind up playing lacrosse in the spring, and sometimes they find it easier to get a scholarship in lacrosse, and so they opt to make that their sport for 4 years instead of football, where obviously the competition is much higher, even though football does offer more scholarships. Cedar Ridge shouldn't have that problem, because even though they do field a lacrosse team, it's not anywhere as traditional as it is over at East Chapel Hill. But that's just the way it is right now, and we'll see if Cedar Ridge can get the numbers up as time goes on. But right now they just don't have the numbers, and it looks like they're going to fall to 0-5 tonight, and that's going to put them behind the eight ball in terms of trying to get the four wins necessary to become playoff eligible.
We still have one half of football to play, though. We'll talk more about how the second half will work out between these two teams coming up in just a couple of minutes. Up next, we'll talk about some of the college games going on in the area tomorrow. UNC and ECU will be going head-to-head. We'll check in on that and see what's Jeff Hamlin's thoughts, who will be covering the game from Winston-Salem as a part of the ECU broadcast team. Talking to him about his perspective on the matchup tomorrow between the two in-state rivals. That's coming up next here on High School Football. Our coverage brought to you again by Mark Vitale Nationwide Insurance and in Hillsboro, AAI Nationwide Insurance. Back with much more in just a moment.
Hi, this is Ron Stutz. At Carolina Ophthalmology here in Chapel Hill, Dr. Jamie Bryan has been performing vision correction surgery, including LASIK and PRK, for 18 years. Dr. Bryan performed my vision correction surgery about a decade ago. It really changed my life. Dr. Bryan is certified by the American Board of Ophthalmology and is Chapel Hill's most experienced vision correction surgeon. At your free consultation, Dr. Bryan will answer your questions and evaluate whether vision correction procedures are right for you. Visit Carolina2020.com or call 919-945-EYES.
This is Kit Ballew of Franklin Street Realty.
And I'm Sammy Martin. You know, Kit, a lot of people look at buying or selling a house as a competition where there is a clear winner and a clear loser.
I know what you mean, but in my experience...
And that would be vast.
The best deals are the ones where the sellers feel they didn't get quite enough and the buyers are sure they paid a little too much.
So not like the sleazeball in the tailored suit on Bravo's million-dollar listing, the one who says, you haven't done anything right until someone wants you dead. Geez, at Franklin Street Realty, our agents simply do not let ego get in the way. In fact, the men were selected for low testosterone levels.
Oh, Sammy, don't sell yourself short. The truth is, you don't have to read The Art of War to be a good negotiator. You need focus, experience, and flexibility. What you get from our agents. Plus, even the talking heads have come around to our position. There has never been a better time to buy a house, period.
Lower asking prices, lower interest rates, a lot to choose from. Find your new house at franklinstreetrealty.com.
Franklin Street Realty. Why would you call anyone else?
I'm Edward Holmes, president of Cruiser's Convenience Marketplace. By now, you've heard about our fountain drinks made with 100% filtered water served at a chilly 34 degrees with our chewy ice. They're guaranteed to taste great and only 79 cents every day. Right now, we're giving you the opportunity to win free fountain drinks for a year. Simply visit our Facebook page and look for the contest icon. Contest runs through September.
Cruiser's, good to go.
The Cardinal Gibbons Crusaders scored on their first five drives of the first half tonight, leading them to a 35-7 advantage in tonight's game.
Now, Walter, I have to bring to your attention, yes, the homecoming king and queen are getting, what type of car that? That's a red what?
I don't know cars very well. I would call it a red car.
Okay, it's a red car.
A convertible.
All right,
I can identify that fact.
The homecoming queen gets a crown. And the tiara, I get that. The homecoming king looks like he's wearing a leprechaun's hat. That's what that looks like.
It is a Toyota...
It's a Toyota Camry?
Solera?
Okay. I thought it was the Ford Gelding.
I can't... My eyesight's not that good to see the symbol on the back very well.
Okay.
I didn't know that they made Toyotas with convertibles, though, if that is...
Neither did I. Wait a minute. Why didn't I know about this before I got my last car? What's he doing wearing a leprechaun's crown? That's what I want to know.
It's kind of like a cross between a fez hat.
Oh, a fez hat, a top hat, and...
Yeah.
Okay.
Somewhat.
I'd expect a full-fledged crown.
They're doing the traditional drive around the warning track here at Cardinal Gibbons High School right now.
That's right.
Very exciting, very fun.
Hope they don't run into the field hockey net that's to the far side there. That'd be bad.
Please be careful on your trip around the backside of the stadium. Do be careful. So UNC and ECU college game going on tomorrow, should be a fun one. What do you make of the contest?
Well, we know it's going to be a sellout. This will be the first sellout of the year over at Keenan Stadium, and I think Carolina's got too much power offensively for ECU. This is an ECU team that tends to win the games that they should win, and they are not a team that can beat teams that are more talented than they are. And I think that formula is going to continue tomorrow because Carolina is starting to get Ebron more involved with the offense.
He's looked good.
And I think that Carolina has to be a little disappointed coming off the second half of that Georgia Tech game last week. I thought there were some extremely questionable calls, and that's been talked about this week. But at the end of the day, I was talking to a couple of Carolina fans this week, and they felt like that they lost the game in the second half against Georgia Tech because they just didn't produce offensively, and Georgia Tech's defense threw them off balance. I'm not sure if East Carolina's defense is strong enough to throw North Carolina's offense off balance in the game tomorrow. So that's the one thing I'll be looking at.
Yeah, I think that's a good analysis of what to expect. But it will be a fun atmosphere and fun to see that the game is sold out. You kind of wonder how many purple shirts will be there, though, as they've had a strong showing before, ECU fans making the trip and snatching up some of those extra tickets to bring a good presentation and representation. You see the same thing with NC State whenever Carolina and NC State play, but they make a lot of noise, those ECU fans. as you know from experience in covering the team and being a part of their broadcasts each week.
Shane Carden is one of the best quarterbacks in the country that you may not know of. He came on last season midway through the year to replace the then starter for East Carolina, and he put together a pretty solid stretch for the season that put East Carolina in the New Orleans Bowl, where they wound up losing to Louisiana Lafayette. So he's one of those players that's gotten off to a very strong start, but he's not coming off a very good game and against Virginia Tech. And there are a lot of teams that can say that they aren't coming off very good games against Virginia Tech, because the Hokies, as we saw once again last night on what they did with Vlad Lee of Georgia Tech, can trouble an awful lot of quarterbacks. So I'll be interested to see. East Carolina is coming off a bye week, and before that came the loss, which was only by 5 points in Greenville to Virginia Tech. So I'll be interested to see how they respond to all that. This is a game, for obvious reasons, that they get keyed up for. They have NC State coming up later on in the year, and after that it'll be games in their final year in Conference USA. So I want to see exactly how they respond to all this, and it'll be most interesting to see how they come out against North Carolina tomorrow, because in their games with Ruffin McNeil against the Tar Heels, they really haven't been all that competitive.
You'll be able to hear that game on WCHL in the pre-game coverage as well. Get started off bright and early, so be sure to tune in for all the coverage tomorrow on WCHL for the kickoff and contest between UNC and ECU. We'll get you ready for the kickoff and give you some scores from across the area when we come back. You're listening to High School Football on WCHL in Chapelboro.
Have you been looking for acupuncture, massage, nutrition advice, yoga therapy, guided imagery, hypnosis, and expert physicians who understand how you can use these services to benefit your health and your life? Come to Duke Integrative Primary Care. To learn more or attend a free information session, visit DukeIntegrativeMedicine.org. Duke Integrative Primary Care, transforming your health and your life. Only minutes from Chapel Hill. Open to all and now accepting insurance.
Mark Vitale's All About Insurance Agency has taken care of families and businesses in Chapel Hill since 1993. All About Insurance carries every line of insurance you and your family would need. Auto, home, renters, commercial insurance for businesses large and small, life insurance and 401k plans, plus health care insurance. In fact, All About Insurance carries the absolute lowest rate for new young drivers. So call AAI today at 919-933-4000 or go online at allaboutinsurancenc.com.
I'm Edward Holmes, president of Cruisers Convenience Marketplace. By now, you've heard about our fountain drinks made with 100% filtered water, served at a chilly 34 degrees with our chewy ice. They're guaranteed to taste great and only 79 cents every day. Right now, we're giving you the opportunity to win free fountain drinks for a year. Simply visit our Facebook page and look for the contest icon. Contest runs through September.
Cruisers, good to go.
When you think of Harrington Bank, do you think green? No, not that kind of green, sustainability green. At Harrington Bank, we're the first bank in the nation to earn Green Plus certification. And the Chapel Hill Carrboro Chamber of Commerce has just selected us Sustainable Business of the Year. For Harrington Bank, going green is a smart business decision that strengthens our local economy, environment, and community. Stop by one of our three convenient locations in Chapel Hill. Harrington Bank, you deserve banking like this.
A little bit of time has been added back up on the clock here to make room for the extra homecoming festivities that they partook in here tonight at Cardinal Gibbons High School, and that gives us a great opportunity to fill you in on some scores from across the area. Jeff, what have you've scoured the bowels of the internet to find us some good scores here, I'm sure.
Yeah, Twitter is now the bowels of the internet. I think that should be a slogan. Every time you go on Twitter, Twitter, the bowels of the internet. I think they'll be quite proud of that slogan. Right here, it's 35-7 at the half. Cardinal Gibbons leading Cedar Ridge. Walter is
the... It used to be a lot more challenging to find scores to game.
Oh, absolutely. We'd have to call around. We shouldn't call it the bowels of the internet. Twitter is a godsend when you get right down to it. Well, we
it's
know
the intestinal tract.
Yes, that's true. We know that Ragsdale leads East Chapel Hill 28-0. That's at the half. That's in Ragsdale. Also, we know that Hillside, who is figured by many to be the team to beat once again in the Pac-6 conference this year, they are the defending Pac-6 champions, they lead Nash Central 20-0, and that is among the final non-conference games this year for the Hornets. Heritage leads Leesville Road 20-0. A lot of people felt like Leesville Road was going to be the team to beat. They lost their star player last week, and they lost their first game after that, and thus the Pride have wound up falling on hard times, at least for the moment. 20-0 the score in that one. We mentioned earlier the last word we had from Pittsburgh had Orange leading Northwood 27-0, and hopefully we'll hear more about that before we go off the air tonight. But that's one that's going to shake up a lot of people. In Fayetteville, Jack Brett leads Fayetteville 71st, 27-12. That's in the second quarter. And let's see, thumbing around some other scores. Cleveland leads Riverside 28-14. I don't think that is the Browns.
Against the Browns.
Yeah, the Browns. Yeah, scoring two touchdowns against the Browns. I assume that Josh Gordon has caught two touchdowns already. Maybe Greg Little actually appeared in that game for Cleveland there. Well, of course, that's Cleveland County, which is a pretty good distance, actually, away from Durham. And Panther Creek leads over Leedsville. We mentioned that one. And East Wake leads Garner by a score of 14-7. So those are the scores. And we're going to be interested, Walter, in hearing what happened with Chapel Hill tonight. They are playing out in Granville County against Oxford. And let's face it, when you have some big things happening for Chapel Hill last week, including the return that we talked about so much last week.
Darius Allen back.
Darius,
right?
Allen, that's right. He had 160 yards rushing as Chapel Hill won the Hodgin Cup for the 10th consecutive year, beating East Chapel Hill 26-7. So with Darius back out there, really all bets are off. I really think that that could make Chapel Hill much more of a contender, especially if they can get some more depth defensively. This is a team that can win three or four conference games, and if they can do that, they'll be right back in the playoffs.
You make a great point. Certainly Cardinal Gibbons is very interested in what happens tonight between Orange and Northwood, because when you look at the standings right now, taking into account that no team has played a conference game until tonight, but Northwood and Orange were both at the tops in terms of their non-conference records of 4-0 apiece, but now Northwood will, if they continue to lose tonight's game, will drop down, and it'll vault Cardinal Gibbons right back into the conversation alongside Orange as having the best records in the conference. 12 minutes up on the board. It is time to get the action going for the second half between Cardinal Gibbons and Cedar Ridge. The Crusaders will receive. David Smith standing on his own 10-yard lines to receive. The only kickoff of the first half for Cedar Ridge was an in-the-air squib kick that only made it to about the 40-yard line in Cardinal Gibbons territory and almost got returned all the way by one of the upbacks. They're going to kick it off from the right hash mark this time. And it'll be Ferris who will boot it away. The ball just fell off the tee, so he had to go reset it. Moving from left to right along your radio dial, that's the direction of the kick. Ferris steps up, slow trot, and the ball fell again.
It's been that type of night. Good to see the second half getting off to such a raucous and fast start here. We can barely keep up with it all.
It resets the ball. The wind doesn't feel to be that strong.
No.
But maybe it's catching the laces just right.
Yes.
Tipping it off. Looks like we're going to be good to go this time. As Ferris steps up, puts it high into the air, end over end. Again, it only makes it to about the 35-yard line. Oh. Bounces on the ground. It's loose, and Cedar Ridge got the ball. And so Cedar Ridge will have possession of the ball to start out the second half. One of the most well-executed squib kicks you'll see.
And that was Dante Scott, who fell on the fumble earlier on, and he wound up recovering it. And it's going to be Cedar Ridge ball.
Crusaders kind of treated that like a punt, not a kickoff. They let it bounce and kind of gave it some space, and that was dangerous because Cedar Ridge came barreling through there to get that football, and they will now have great field position at the 35-yard line to try and get things going offensively with Pappas in the shotgun position. He's got Walton on his left, and now he'll switch over to the right side. Two receivers out to either side. Ball on the left hash mark. He'll take the snap. He'll hand it off, coming in motion to the near side. Cutting it up the field at the 35, down to the 34 on the play is Matt Murdy. Wide receiver on the end around gets a couple of yards, and it'll bring up second down just underway here in the second quarter with 11 minutes and 43 seconds to play. Excuse me, the third quarter, rather. Ball across the 35-yard line to the 34, so it'll be second and nine after the gain of one.
It's the first time we've seen Murdy in there as a skill player, and he's back in there as a wideout.
Here's the snap. They will hand it off on the end around. This time it goes to Marquez Hunter. Again, just has to fight to get back to the line of scrimmage. Falls forward, maybe gets to the 33-yard line. We'll see where the spot comes. That's where it is. So another gain of one. It'll bring up third and eight now.
Boy, talk about the lateral quickness of this Cardinal Gibbons team. We don't talk about it enough. That was David Smith and Jimmy Russo who got in there. They just would not let that play go forward. They strung it out perfectly.
So two end arounds to either side now. They'll have to pass as Pappas, three-step drop, now moves forward, rifles it toward the first down marker, but great coverage on the play from Cardinal Gibbons. He's been there all night long. Stephen Albright with good coverage once again, wrapped his arms around the intended receiver, knocked the ball away.
And for Pappas in the game, that's going to put his numbers at 7 for 16 for 42 yards.
And they're going to go for it on 4th and 8, needing to get to the 25 for the first down. Pappas almost threw it into the flat, but he had an arm in the way, and he wasn't going to be able to get it there. But flags come in at the end of the play after he gets taken down on 4th down.
Now, the sack came that time from number 55. That was Michael Benvito, I should say. But we have a face mask called, and they signaled that that is not a dead ball foul. So it's going to be 15 yards from the spot of the foul, and that will keep this drive alive.
It will. It'll put it out on exactly the 25 from the spot of the foul where it happened. So it'll be first down from the 25-yard line now as the chains will move. Just how we saw a penalty spring the Red Wolves to their first touchdown of the game, which I believe was also a face mask penalty.
That's right.
It happens yet again here on a fourth down. Both, ironically, came on, I think the early one came on a third down, if I'm not mistaken. This one comes on fourth. So Pappas will pass, looks across the middle of the field, overthrew his receiver. McCoy was the intended wideout, lands in the end zone. It'll bring up second and ten.
So these are some expensive mistakes, and we've seen some undisciplined play here tonight from Cardinal Gibbons, Walter, even though they really have used their skills on offense overall to take out any competition in this game. They've also been sloppy.
Here's the throw from Pappas to the left side, 5 yards deep, getting thrown back toward the sideline on the play, though, is the receiver. I believe that was Murdy again.
Yep.
As he is getting some play here as a skilled position player. And he gets a couple of yards on the play. It'll bring up third down as they get the ball a little bit forward. Third and seven is going to be the play now as they mark it on the 22.
Let's see if the offensive line for Cedar Ridge can allow Pappas enough time to throw deep here. He wants to.
Here's the snap. He looks to his right, throws across the middle, tipped and intercepted. After the deflection, it got picked off. Crusaders trying to run it down the right sideline. They get it back out to the 30, and now we've got whistles and flags coming in toward the end of the play as well. Looks like we may have a block in the back here against the Crusaders, but it came after the interception, so it will very likely be Cardinal Gibbons' ball.
Let's see. We have a block in the back after the pick. Two blocks in the back, in fact.
Based on the flag and where it's spotted here, it's going to be a significant penalty to knock Cardinal Gibbons back from where that return ended up.
Yeah, the interception made that time looked like by Chris Karazin. He swiped it on a tip, I believe. And then he ran to the far end of the field, and that's where the pick came.
Getting a little nippy up here. One of our cooler nights of the year that we've had so far. Beautiful night for high school football. Enough for a light jacket for the cheerleaders.
Yeah. They get that luxury. We don't.
We wear shorts and a T-shirt.
That's right.
I do it.
Well, that's, yeah.
You've got the T-shirt, but at least you were smart enough to have pants on.
Yes.
So it's going to knock them all the way back to the 5. So we saw Cardinal Gibbons earlier in the game start a possession on the 9-yard line. Now they're starting out on the 5. And that 91-yard play resulted in a touchdown, and it only took 6 plays. Now they got to go 95 yards. Stan Cavage is back in the game as quarterback. He's got 3 wideouts to the near side. He goes to the weak side, though, throwing out to the right, moving up across the 10-yard line. A good pickup to give them some breathing room. It'll bring up second down with 9 minutes and 43 seconds to play here in the third quarter.
That was DiMaggio on the catch that time, once again, from Stan Cavage, and that's usually the way they start drives. They can execute a West Coast style of offense here. Throw short and get 5 yards out of it.
Handoff will go to Smith. He gets across the 15, now looking for the 20. gets forward to the 19-yard line. May have carried the pile a little bit further. He did get across the first down marker. They'll mark him at the 19 for the first down. It'll bring up first and 10. Good run by Smith as he originally moved to his left and cut back to the right following his blockers.
Those are some well-coached players up front for Cardinal Gibbons as they are just pushing Cedar Ridge all around the line of scrimmage.
Man in motion to the far side of the field. Two wide outs on either side. Here's the snap. Stankavich will run it himself up the middle. He's got pressure coming from behind him, and he's taken down after a gain of five as he reaches across the 25-yard line. He'll mark it at the 26. It'll bring up second down with 8:54 to play.
The term read option is kind of an oxymoron because all options, when you get right down to it, are reads, but that was a good zone read that time by Stankavich, and he clearly had that play called for himself to gain seven. Again, he is the leading rusher on this team as well as the leading passer.
Gets the snap, hands it off to Smith. Smith will dance around in the middle, try to push forward, stays on his feet, still on his feet. He bounces to the outside, doesn't have an edge. There are flags on the play. Back in the backfield, there's a Cedar Ridge player down, holding himself, crumpled up on his knees as the ball got across the 40-yard line for a first down, but it's likely coming back as Stankavich is already marching his way back into his own red zone. And the Cedar Ridge player is okay walking off with a little bit of help, and now under his own power, number 44, Dante Scott.
And the foul will be a hold once again against Cardinal Gibbons. This has turned into a sloppy affair over the last 10 minutes or so, Walter. Ever since about the five-minute mark of the second quarter, that's when Cardinal Gibbons just really started making some unforced errors, and you get the sense that this team almost is bored in a way. They know they have the skill advantage, and they know that this is a team that they should beat, but they're making silly mistakes in the meantime.
It's got to drive a coach crazy. Second down, 15 to go as it gets knocked back down to the 14-yard line. Here's the snap. Stankavich will throw. He throws it deep down the right sideline. He's got a man out there. Caught his catch, has made it to 50, and then down to the 44. No, he dropped the ball. He did not have possession of it and then eventually fell out of bounds. Credit the defensive back on the play, Walton, who was able to get in there and disrupt the play and keep the receiver from making the grab.
That was strange because it looked like the receiver had already started running with the ball.
I think it was DiMaggio who had gotten the ball out there.
But he couldn't quite haul it in. You have DiMaggio to the far side of the field along with Chris Gorman.
So it'll be another shotgun snap, this time on third and 15. Three-step drop for Stankavich. Steps up into the pocket, throws across the middle of the field over top of his intended receiver. Again looking for DiMaggio, but it was out of his reach, and it's going to bring up what I would imagine would be a punt for the Crusaders, although I don't see the punting team going out onto the field.
Well, can't imagine. Yeah, well, there they go. Yeah.
Okay.
This will be their first punt of the night. Stankavich was at one point, Walter, 13 of 14 in the game, but he has just gone 3 for his last 15 since then, and that's with one interception.
8:04 on the clock. Lloyd will punt it away. He's standing on his own one-yard line. Cedar Ridge with two return men back. And a bad snap forces Lloyd to just have to boot it high and away. It gets to the 45, though, still carried pretty well. Hunter gets the punt and then runs to his left, trying to spin away from a defender, but gets wrapped up very quickly. Didn't really gain any yardage on the return. So Cedar Ridge will have starting field position just inside Cardinal Gibbons territory with 7:54 to play in the third.
In case you're just joining us, Cedar Ridge was dominated at the start of this game. It's 35-7 Cardinal Gibbons now. Cedar Ridge opened this second half by kicking off, but they recovered their own kickoff. It was recovered by Dante Scott. It wasn't an onside kick, but turned out to work that way. And Cedar Ridge got the ball, but they couldn't get a first down out of it. And now running to the near side is number 36, Matt Murdy, who brings it to about the 46-yard line. Walter, I'm not supposed to do play-by-play until next week, so you have to do it.
Well, I was getting us a score update as Orange High School.
Yes.
As I know you're interested in hearing.
Sure.
27-7 now the score. Is
27-7.
Orange is up 27-7.
That must have been some start to that one.
It seems to have cooled off slightly. Second down and 9 after the gain of 1 on the play. As Cedar Ridge, Pappas gets the snap, throws it to Hunter, gets across the 35, up to the 40, backing his way forward. And another good pickup here. Hunter got his leg kind of caught up underneath himself as he was getting taken down. Lucky to stand up there, didn't sprain an ankle or anything. It'll bring up third down, but a very manageable third down play. Third and three with the ball on the 40-yard line. Referees having a bit of a discussion near the ball. Doesn't see any flags on the play, so not sure what the discussion might be about. Don't usually see a conference between the referees when there's no flag on the field.
See what we have here. Going to have a penalty, I believe, that came after the mark was down. Unsportsmanlike conduct call against Cardinal Gibbons.
That'll move the ball all the way to the 26-yard line. Again, undisciplined play from Cardinal Gibbons has cost them from being able to extend this score even more than it already is. They've been stuck on 35 for quite a while now.
And they were at a point late in the half where it looked like they had an opportunity to take advantage of it, but they couldn't. Who was the runner on that last play? I'm asking as a statistician here tonight, Walter.
That would have been Hunter on that last one.
Hunter, okay.
Pappas in the shotgun on first and 10. Hunter goes in motion, takes the handoff for the end around. He gets across the 25 to the 20, down to the 15, looking for the 10-yard line before being spilled over there. Finally, the end around works for positive yardage for Cedar Ridge after they tried it on their previous drive without much success. This time, they convert a first down off of it, getting deeper into the red zone, and now it'll be first and goal from the 9-yard line.
This is a little bit of confidence that they've been needing, and this is something they badly need.
So first and goal from the 9. It'll be a handoff up the middle. Walton looking to barrel his way into the end zone. Gets to the 3-2, reaches across into the end zone for the touchdown. He got stopped short but reached his arms across the goal line for the 9-yard scamper into the end zone. And it's 35-13, Cedar Ridge on the board here in the third quarter.
That was just one team taking advantage of its situations there. And Cedar Ridge did a very good job. And even though this is a young team, they're still fighting here against the Cardinal Gibbons team that's gotten very sloppy and undisciplined.
Well, hey, the way they recovered that squib kick and the way the defense is getting stops now, if you can get another score here in the third quarter to make it 35-21, all of a sudden you do have a game out of it. And that's maybe what they're thinking now. The extra point is up and good from Ferris. So it's 35-14. You got to eat that elephant one bite at a time, and that's what they're doing right now. Again, 35-14, your score with 6 minutes, 35 seconds to play in the third quarter. We'll step aside for a quick break. You're listening to High School Football on ChapelBarrow.com.
Hello, I'm Jeremy Salemson, Chief Executive Officer of Corporate Investors Mortgage Group, and I'm proud to lead Chapel Hill's only locally owned mortgage bank. Home mortgage interest rates remain at historic lows, so whether you're looking to purchase the home of your dreams or simply looking to refinance your existing mortgage, Corporate Investors and I are here to help you every step of the way. Call us at 929-6116 or visit us on the web at CIMGINC.com. Go Heels!
This is Kit Ballew of Franklin Street Realty.
And I'm Sammy Martin. You know, Kit, a lot of people look at buying or selling a house as a competition where there is a clear winner and a clear loser.
I know what you mean, but in my experience...
And that would be vast.
The best deals are the ones where the sellers feel they didn't get quite enough and the buyers are sure they paid a little too much.
So not like the sleazeball in the tailored suit on Bravo's million-dollar listing, the one who says, you haven't done anything right until someone wants you dead. Geez, at Franklin Street Realty, our agents simply do not let ego get in the way. In fact, the men were selected for low testosterone levels.
Oh, Sammy, don't sell yourself short. The truth is, you don't have to read The Art of War to be a good negotiator. You need focus, experience, and flexibility. What you get from our agents. Plus, even the talking heads have come around to our position. There has never been a better time to buy a house, period.
Lower asking prices, lower interest rates, a lot to choose from. Find your new house at franklinstreetrealty.com.
Franklin Street Realty. Why would you call anyone else?
The squib kick does not result in a turnover this time around, as the ball is fielded cleanly by Cardinal Gibbons. Able to grab it was Chris Gorman on the play, and he returned it to the 41-yard line. Cardinal Gibbons in their own territory. It'll be first and 10 with 6 minutes, 26 seconds to play in the third quarter. a 35-14 score. Stankavich trying to re-jolt this offense a little bit. He'll go with a handoff on the first play from scrimmage, running to the left side across the 45, looking for the 50 on the play is Offnick, and Offnick gets to the 48-yard line before being taken down. In on the tackle for Cedar Ridge was Ben Rice, the linebacker, one of the tacklers in there to bring him down.
And that was a good play by number four, Elijah Richardson, to spill that play into the inside that time as he wouldn't allow Offnick to get to the outside and cut it up the sideline.
Second and three now. Three receivers to the right for Stankavich. He'll hand it off again to Offnick. Offnick cuts to the middle after running right. Gets closer to the 50-yard line. Still shy of that first down marker. It'll bring up third and short.
Not sure what it is. Perhaps Cardinal Gibbons has just grown sloppy in this game. We keep saying that, but Cedar Ridge is doing a lot better at the point of attack in this game. They're coming to the ball much better than they did at the start.
Got a little life injected to him because of these turnovers and because Cardinal Gibbons may have been taking things lightly. Here's Stankavich with a quarterback keeper after faking the option. Now he's going to split his way out to the right side. Almost fumbled on the play, though. Was coming in there to try and strip the ball. Was Ben Rice. Did a good job to chase him down from behind at the 30-yard line, but it's a big 20-yard pickup for the Crusaders, and it'll be first down now well into Cedar Ridge territory.
And that was a play that Stankavich had to make because any chance that Cedar Ridge had of trying to spring this upset pretty much got put by the boards because of that 21-yard run right there.
First and 10. We'll see if they continue the ground attack or if the Crusaders try a pass now here within striking distance to the end zone. They will pass. It'll be Stankavich looking out to his right. Pass is complete to DiMaggio, and then he's taken down. 8-yard gain. It'll bring up second and two with 4:48 in counting.
You had to have eyes like a hawk in order to see that.
I just guessed that it was DiMaggio.
No, you got it right. I mean, it was very good.
I have noticed that he wears dark gray gloves, so that helps identify him slightly.
That narrows it down to about 40 others on the team.
Here's the snap and the handoff to Offnick. Nothing doing, though. Good defensive pressure. Ben Rice comes in there to help make the stop, but the first man through was Harvin Allison, who was injured earlier in the game. He was slow to get up after getting the wind knocked out of him, but he does a nice play there. Good sportsmanship on both sides of the ball to give each other high fives after that hard hit.
So far in the game, only 8 third downs for Cardinal Gibbons. They've only converted 3 of them.
Third and one. Man in motion. It'll be a snap, and Stankavich will throw. He looks across the middle of the end zone. DiMaggio with the catch and the touchdown. Elevating nice and high, hauled it in with those gray gloves. Staved off the pressure from the defender, Marquez Hunter, and he scores to make it 41-14 with 3:56 to play in the third quarter. And the Crusaders finally getting things turned back around after some very quiet drives over the past 15 minutes or so of play.
Yeah, they had gone missed field goal, punt, interception, fumble in their 4 preceding drives, but of course that came after they scored touchdowns on their first 5 drives.
Extra point, spot kick is up, and it is good. Loy with the extra point. He's perfect on the extra points for the night, 1 missed field goal. 42-14 now our score with 3:56 to play in the third quarter. Walter Storholt and Jeff Hanlon with you from Cardinal Gibbons High School. More after this.
Are you a weekend warrior? Along with the fun of being active comes the risk of injury. This is Dr. Harry Stafford, Director of the Primary Care Sports Medicine Fellowship here at UNC, as well as a UNC team physician. And for those times when your knee gets injured, your Achilles is hurt, your back goes out, or if you've got a shoulder injury, UNC Family Medicine is a great choice for fast and easy treatments, including cutting-edge platelet-rich plasma injections and much more. I invite you to find out more on our website, uncfamilymedicine.org. UNC Family Medicine, here for all weekend warriors.
Walter Stroll and Jeff Hammond with you as the ball's at the 40-yard line. Crusaders getting ready to kick off. Jeff, what have you found on the bowels of the Internet?
We see
otherwise that, known as Twitter.
Twitter, yes. The bowels of the Internet. East Wake leads Garner. Sounds like they got a good one going. 28-26 in the third quarter. Wake Forest and Brought not quite as close, 42-3.
Cap struggling a little bit.
Yeah, Wake Forest looks like all that.
Here's the kickoff, but we have whistles and a flag. And it's likely going to be offsides on the kickoff against Cardinal Gibbons. Rear kick on the way.
Looking at the numbers for Stankavich, he's got 76 yards rushing, Walter, so he needs just 24 yards for 100. That goes along with 19 of 31 for 274 yards and four touchdowns. How's that for a solid night?
Pretty impressive, even though they haven't looked that great on the past couple of drives.
No, you just forget how great they were on the first five
drives. They were awesome. Six-play drive went 91 yards. That was really one of the impressive drives of the night.
Yep.
So they'll move the ball back to the 35, and Loyal have to kick it off again. The junior crosses the 30, puts his head down, and boots it forward. Another good kick all the way back to the 3-yard line. Make it the 2 as the back foot of Hunter went there. Hunter spins his way across the 23 down to the 24-yard line before getting snowed under. 3:49 on the clock in the third quarter. 42-14 is our score. But Cedar Ridge was able to move the ball well on their last drive, and they'll try to do the same this time around.
I want to say happy birthday to someone you hear here on WCHL. It's actually a couple of days ago, but John Stillman celebrated his 30th birthday, and right now should have a 30th birthday celebration that was to be a surprise up until about 3 hours ago.
Hopefully everything went smoothly, or maybe we just ruined it.
Well, I hope not, but I'm sure there are some people at the Stillman's house right now.
Absolutely,
I'd like to wish happy birthday to all-around swell guy. If you don't believe me, just ask him.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Check his email signature. He'll
That's right.
He's an all-around swell guy. Here's the snap. Toss out to the left side. It is caught, and immediately getting hit and taken to the ground on the play was Simon Little. First catch of the night for him as he gets a couple of yards on the play. Up from the 25, he gets to the 23. That'll bring up second down and 7 to go. 3:30 here in the third quarter. You can hear John Stillman on Sunday afternoons on WCHL. The Financial Safari. Here's the handoff. It goes to Walton. Looking for the first down as he gets across the 30 and stretches to the 35. We'll see if they move the chains for him based on the spot. Might be just short. 3rd and inches. Coming up for Cedar Ridge after the handoff to Walton. And now it looks like Walton's cramping up a little bit as he lays down in the backfield and we get an official timeout. And the trainers will come out to work on him.
Kerry, once again, Walter was by, I'm having to keep stats as well.
That one was by Walton.
By Walton to the 34, okay.
Thus the cramping. And he's up and now walking off under his own power, so this should be a short stoppage.
So for Walton tonight, let's see, we mentioned that there have been, he's at 59 yards, his high for the year is 63, so it looks like he's going to eclipse, if he can get healthy enough, he's going to eclipse his season high now for rushing. That's a good sign.
4 wideouts, but the handoff will go up the middle to Ben Rice, who checks in every once in a while as running back. Still a lot of pushing and shoving as Rice gets driven backward as he was looking for the line of scrimmage. Several flags on the field as well. We'll have to see how all of this sorts out. This could be very bad news if it's holding against Cedar Ridge, which looks like it may be if some of their players are backing up.
Yeah. It's going to be an illegal shift against the Red Wolves.
Not as bad as the holding would have been.
Well,
a 5-yard penalty rather than the 10.
Well, it's 3rd and 1. I think the coaches, well, they're going ahead and saying accept the penalty, but I'm not sure if Cedar Ridge got the first down there. I don't think they did. If they didn't get it, then they should decline this penalty. But
well, they may not want to have a 4th and 1 or 2 situation.
Yeah, that's true,
kind of
too.
That battle, I guess. That's the conversation that was going on as Smith came over to the sideline to discuss it with the coaching staff for the Crusaders. So it'll be 3rd and 6 as the ball gets knocked down to the 29-yard line. They've got to get to the 35 for a first down. So it's still 3rd down. They have 2 plays to get there unless they decided to punt the ball away. Here's the snap. Pump fake for Pappas to the right. He goes left now, puts the ball down and runs with it. Gets a couple of yards before getting wrangled out of bounds. Maybe got a gain of 2 on the play. We'll see if Cedar Ridge decides to say, hey, we're in our own end, but let's go for it on 4th down and see what they do. They're going to put back into the game Walton after he went out with cramps, but they're also going to bring Ferris onto the field to punt it away.
That's a smart move because you can't take those chances, but Cardinal Gibbons doesn't have anybody back on the return.
They try and bring the house for the punt, and there's going to be roughing the kicker. Oh, I can't believe they didn't throw the flag.
Man.
He was preparing to throw it and didn't throw it. Ferris got destroyed on the play.
Oh, man.
And the ref reached into his pocket to pull the flag out and then just said, I guess I won't do it.
Man.
Oh, cut him some slack. As Ferris walks off to the sideline, kind of shrugging his shoulders to the coaching staff, like, I don't know what else I can do. As he takes his helmet off when he reaches the sideline, just seems to be visibly frustrated. What? It was a decent kick on the play as it does get into Cardinal Gibbons territory and gets marked at the 44-yard line for the first down for the Crusaders. I believe it was Benvenuto coming in on the play, and he just nailed the Cedar Ridge defender. I think it was Walton who was blocking.
Yeah.
But he also then ran into Ferris and knocked him down pretty hard. At least it was running into the kicker. Really could have been roughing. Here is the run by Smith to the near side on first down for Cardinal Gibbons. He gets 11 on the play for the first down across midfield and into Cedar Ridge territory at the 44.
Smith is coming up on a 100-yard night.
Very quiet 100 yards for him.
And he got it to the 44 there, so he wound up getting 12 out of it. And for him on the night, that's going to be 93 yards.
Stankavich in the shotgun, as he's been all night. Three receivers to his right with the ball in the left hash, moving right to left along your radio dial. Throw to the near side, getting 1 foot down, and maybe even the second as well. Brandon Loy makes the catch. Loy's been a reliable receiver when thrown to tonight.
Mm-hmm. Surprised they're still throwing the football here. Stankavich is in the game. 2 minutes to go in the third quarter, and you got a 42-14 lead. Not sure if it's necessary to do this, but
maybe he's finishing out the quarter and then they'll run something different in the fourth. Smith gets the handoff, splits back to the left side. Flags are down on the play as Smith goes across the 30-yard line to the 27. This one will probably be coming back the other direction as the flag is back on the 38-yard line, and it is a hold against Cardinal Gibbons. So the good run by Smith is wiped out. 1:49 on the clock in the third.
So next week we'll be over at Orange. I learned something interesting this week, Walter, was the fact that Orange is not only celebrating homecoming next week, but also the 50th anniversary of Orange High. I was told that by a former classmate this week when they take on the Vikings of Northern Vance.
Fantastic.
Second and 14.
That'll be a fun one to be a part of.
Yeah.
Shotgun again for Stankovic as the ball gets knocked back to the 48. He'll look to his left, now looks downfield. Ball gets knocked out of his arms. They're going to say it was a throw and that his arm is moving forward. It was still kind of along his side, but he was beginning a throwing motion. No fumble on the play. It'll bring up third down and long.
And credit Brad Bunnington for getting his arms around Stankovic's waist and forcing that ball away. Bunnington did a fine job that time of forcing the ball free and nearly creating a fumble.
Stankavich has had a lot of time to throw tonight, but he was rushed on that play. Credit the Cedar Ridge defensive line for getting some good pressure. So it'll be third and 14, needing to get to the 34 for a first down. Stankavich will roll to his right, has plenty of time, fires, intercepted. It was off the mark as he was throwing on the run. Cedar Ridge picks it off. I believe it was Hunter who got the interception. Nope, it was number one, Julius Walton.
Yep.
So the running back on offense and a great defensive back was just in the right spot at the right time. It almost looked like Stankavich threw it right at him. And Cedar Ridge will come up with another defensive stop.
That was a poor throw that time by Stankavich as Walton caught that one right in between his hands. And so Cedar Ridge back in business, down 42-14.
Here's the snap. Pappas throwing it downfield on the first play. It flutters a little bit, and then McCoy slowed down to get underneath the ball and kind of cut off the defensive back to make sure the defensive back couldn't get to it. But in doing so, the ball ended up, seemed to pick up speed at the end of the throw and ended up being overthrown because McCoy kind of slowed down on the play. The way it was fluttering made it very deceptive for McCoy to try and judge where that one was going to land.
William Brown was on coverage that time, and he did a good job on McCoy, making sure he didn't break another one free. Peyton Pappas, 9 of 21 for 49 yards and a touchdown. And an interception.
Handoff will go to Walton running off the left side. Busted out to the further out to the left, getting wider on the play. His left leg was grabbed by a defender, and he was dragging a defender along with him that kept him from elevating it into the secondary. But he does get it forward for 4 yards to the 45-yard line, needing to get to the 49 of Cardinal Gibbons for a first down. 53 seconds to go in the third quarter.
Interesting to see what happens if Cedar Ridge can punch this one in. They need a quick strike in order to continue their hopes for an epic comeback.
Here's the handoff to Walton as he goes right side, and he gets snowed under behind him. Getting in on the play was Andrew Whiteley. And Whiteley able to make the tackle for a loss of one on the play. It'll bring up fourth down with under 30 seconds to play in the third quarter. We'll see if Cedar Ridge decides to go ahead and run the play in the quarter if they want to talk about it on the sideline.
They don't have to run it because the play clock just started and the game clock's at 15, but I'm not sure if Cedar Ridge, yeah, looks like they're going to holding up their arms as Pappas, and they're just going to let the clock run on out here.
6 seconds to play. Pappas looks back at the clock, just making sure that everything is in order, and now they will walk off the field as the clock strikes zero. It'll bring up the fourth quarter, 42-14. Cedar Ridge will be going for it on fourth down when we return. You're listening to high school football on WCHL and Chapelboro.com.
You may already know that AT&T is the nation's fastest 4G LTE network. And now, independent third-party research has confirmed that AT&T is also the most reliable 4G LTE network. What does that mean for you? Whether you're connecting with family and friends, getting the job done at work, or simply looking for entertainment, you want a wireless network you can count on. That's why AT&T built the nation's fastest 4G LTE network. And we're not the only ones saying it. PC Magazine recently ranked AT&T's LTE network as the fastest overall. NPC World stated that AT&T's LTE service is the fastest 2 years running. Not surprisingly, that same lightning-fast network is now the most reliable as well. AT&T, the nation's fastest and now most reliable 4G LTE network. Rethink possible. AT&T reminds you to never text and drive. It can wait.
Speed claim compares national carriers' average 4G LTE download speed. Reliability claim compares data transfer completion rates on nationwide 4G LTE networks. 4G LTE not available everywhere.
Score update coming for you in a moment, but first a fourth down play. They'll run the reverse. It's Marquez Hunter coming to the near side, looking for the first down, and he stopped just short. Got to the 49-yard line, but he needed to get to the 49 of Cardinal Gibbons instead. So he falls 2 yards short of the first down, and that'll turn the ball over to the Crusaders. 11:52 as we are just underway here in the fourth quarter. 42-14 is the score. Crusaders on top of the Red Bulls. Jeff, you've got another score update for us.
Do indeed, Walter. 62-6, Southern Durham leading Northern Vance. We told you that it was going to be a very tough year in the Big 8. Northern Vance is finding that out the hard way. So Southern Durham, one of those teams that won the Pac-6 conference when they were a 4A team, wasting no time in making their presence felt in the 3A ranks.
Formidable team for sure. So right at the 49-yard line of Cedar Ridge is where Cardinal Gibbons will start its game, getting across the 48 on the play was Peyton Offnick.
And DiMaggio's in there, quarterback now, number 5, so he's come on for Stan Kavich.
So Stan Kavich on the sideline will get that rest that we thought might be coming in the fourth quarter, if not earlier. It did wait until the fourth quarter as he took a couple more stabs downfield at the end of his evening on the football field. And so it'll bring up second down and 9. Ball on the 48-yard line with DiMaggio in there. And this is what you like to see when a team's ahead this much. Getting some good practice to its backup players. So here's the pitch out to Offnick. Runs to the left side, angling toward the first down marker, but he gets shoved out before he gets there. Across the 45 down to the 41-yard line before getting pushed out of bounds. It'll bring up third down with 11 minutes and 3 seconds to go. And the clock is stopped after the out-of-bounds play. They'll put him at the 42, making it third down and 3 to go.
294 yards total offense tonight for Cardinal Gibbons, 158 for Cedar Ridge.
Certainly part of the disparity. Got a score update for you from Northwood. Game's getting a little bit closer. We'll fill you in on that in just a moment. Here's the snap. DiMaggio hands it off to Offnick again, but he's got plenty of pursuit coming from behind him. Still able to angle it up for the first down across the 35 to the 30-yard line. Gets the first down and much more after he turned it upfield there and able to convert on the third down play. It'll bring up first and 10 with under 11 minutes to play. Northwood has just scored to make it 34-21.
Wow.
So the game tightening up slightly there down in Pittsburgh.
I'd assume that's in the fourth quarter.
Game kicked off at 7, just like this game, so most likely. Winding down in that contest probably.
The good news for Orange is that they have the perfect type of offense to run out the clock, so we'll see how it winds up.
Three receivers to the left for DiMaggio. He'll fake the handoff to Offnick and then pitch it out to the right side. Ball hits the ground. It is fumbled. Getting back onto it quickly on the play was Earl Gill IV, but he was snowed under as soon as he picked the ball back up and knocked back to the 40-yard line. Forward progress will put him at the 39. So a big loss of 9 yards on the play after the mishandled pitch.
That was a low pitch that time. DiMaggio didn't exactly handle that one as well as he should have. And so it's second and 19, Walter, as you mentioned. That's going to knock Cardinal Gibbons back under 300 yards total offense for the game, at least for now. All the way down to 297.
Going the wrong way. 950 to play. Long second down here. Ball on the right hash mark, moving left to right along your radio dial. Here's the handoff to Offnick. He slowly moves his way to the left and then cuts up the middle. Breaks a tackle across the 30, looking for the 26-yard line. He's back past the original line of scrimmage with a good run, and he was one shoelace away from breaking that one into the end zone.
Yeah, the only man stopping him that time was 33, Harbaugh and Allison. I have to admire a lot of the Cedar Ridge players who have stayed in there all the way through because these guys have not gotten a break, either literally or figuratively, in this game.
It's a very, very thin sideline over there.
Yep. Counting what? Eight reserves and one of those a kicker?
If that. Not a lot, that's for sure. Very short roster. Here's the handoff at the 25-yard line. Defensive line with a good job to plug those holes up. 2 yard gain. Gets it up to the 25, and it'll bring up fourth down. With DiMaggio in there at quarterback, we'll see what they decide to do. The kicking game could use some work after the missed field goal earlier. That would be one option, but it looks like they're going to go for it.
I'll be interested to see, Walter, exactly what happens with this team as the year goes on, because we saw the very best from Cardinal Gibbons tonight, but the meat of this game, the middle portion of it, wasn't that great.
Seemed to be a tale of two teams as the throw on fourth down gets across the 20-yard line for what would have been the first down, but then he ran backwards as he was trying to make sure he could catch the ball, and it's going to be a turnover on downs because he didn't get touched when he caught the ball across the first down marker. He came back in front of the marker, therefore not getting the first down.
That looked like the play from the New England Patriots a few years back when they went for it on fourth and two against Indianapolis, as player caught it, but he didn't have control of it at the yard to gain, and that was the case right there.
And it ended up getting marked short of the first down.
That's
so
right.
Cedar Ridge will go back to work on offense. Great recall, Jeff. As here's the snap, fake handoff. Pappas will move to his right now, dance back to the left, and then he goes under his own player. And several Crusaders getting pressure from both sides. Pappas with the save play just hits the deck. 7 yard loss on the play brings up second and 17 with 8 minutes to go.
Pappas is a tough customer because he takes a beating week after week here. He just doesn't have as much size along that offensive front, and he's constantly running.
Here's the throw out to the right side after the snap. Pappas looking for Hunter. Hunter did not make the grab. Incomplete, and as he tossed the ball away from him, a little frustration seeping out of Hunter here. He's going to get a personal foul call at the end of the play.
Yeah, that's just unnecessary there.
Just a little frustration getting through Hunter as he flipped the ball. Referees did not like that unsportsmanlike conduct, and that'll move the ball half a distance to the goal.
Yeah, it's unsportsmanlike, and it's just the frustration for Cedar Ridge. And as we mentioned earlier, Walter, things won't get any easier for this team. This is their third straight week on the road, and then they have to turn right back around next week and get ready for a Northwood team that right now, at the very least, is on the ropes against Orange.
5:22 to play in the fourth quarter between Orange and Northwood. 34-21 the score there. It's 42-14 here in Raleigh as Cardinal Gibbons leads Cedar Ridge with 7:44 to play. And it is a long third and 23 to go for Cedar Ridge. They'll throw it, and it's intercepted. Running it down the left sideline, looking for the end zone. Touchdown, Cardinal Gibbons. Crusaders are getting closer to that half a century mark after the interception and return for the TD.
15 yards for the score. It was a 15-yard score that time. Just a poor throw, and the man who wound up making the play,
number three
came
Scott
in.
Scott Henyon, linebacker, senior, grabbed that ball and took it into the end zone from 15 yards out. Not the way Cedar Ridge wanted that to go as Cardinal Gibbons lines up for the extra point. Loy has been perfect on extra points tonight. One missed field goal. Stankavich will still give the hold. Here's the spot. The kick is up, and it is good. 49-14. 7.5 minutes to play in the fourth quarter. Crusaders rolling against Cedar Ridge High School football on WCHL. Back with more here on ChapelBorough.com in just a moment.
Mark Vitale's All About Insurance Agency has taken care of families and businesses in Chapel Hill since 1993. All About Insurance carries every line of insurance you and your family would need. Auto, home, renters, commercial insurance for businesses large and small, life insurance and 401k plans, plus health care insurance. In fact, All About Insurance carries the absolute lowest rates for new young drivers. So call AAI today at 919-933-4000 or go online at allaboutinsurancenc.com.
Hello, I'm Jeremy Salemson, Chief Executive Officer of Corporate Investors Mortgage Group, and I'm proud to lead Chapel Hill's only locally owned mortgage bank. Home mortgage interest rates remain at historic lows, so whether you're looking to purchase the home of your dreams or simply looking to refinance your existing mortgage, Corporate Investors and I are here to help you every step of the way. Call us at 929-6116 or visit us on the web at CIMGINC.com. Go Heels!
Fitch Lumber and Hardware has been around for a century because they pay attention to their customers. They've got everything you need for your home projects, large and small, and take time to offer you as much or as little advice and helpful tips as you need. The staff is experienced, knowledgeable, and available when you need assistance. Just one of the reasons they've been voted best hardware store in Orange and Chatham counties for 4 years in a row by the Independent Weekly. And Fitch Lumber and Hardware is right here in downtown Carrboro. So stop by or give them a call at 942-3153.
Are you a week?
Coming back here at Cardinal Gibbons High School, we've got a flag down at the end of the play on the kick return as Walton returned it past the 35-yard line and then got pushed out of bounds, but he was literally pushed while he was out of bounds as well. And so that'll be another 15 yards on at the end of the play. So it'll be very good field position for Cedar Ridge, and this should move them into Cardinal Gibbons territory with the extra yardage from the penalty with 7.5 to play here in the fourth quarter. It's 49-14. Not a good night on the scoreboard for Cedar Ridge, but a lot of individual wins that they can take away from tonight's performance.
Well, the good news for Cedar Ridge is that they're rushing the ball better, and they're doing against a team that's very, very strong. The bad news is that this is a team that has a lot of stiff challenges coming up here. So we'll see exactly how that leads up for this team.
Ball only gets moved to the 46-yard line. Ooh. Pappas throws it to McCoy, and he's hit in the head on the play as he got clotheslined along the head. It was a good hard hit, but it was just high. And he hit McCoy in the head right as he caught the ball. Can't quite make out the number there, Jeff, on the player that delivered the hit.
Yeah, but it was 20, a vicious shot to the head there.
24, Stephen Schenck, sophomore, getting some playing time here on this defense, but it's going to be a personal foul, and that will move it into Cardinal Gibbons territory.
Yeah, it's another unsportsmanlike conduct, and the penalties really beginning to add up here for the Crusaders. That's back-to-back 15-yarders right there.
Yep. So it's 49-14, 7:22 to go. But now another first down for Cedar Ridge. Been an easy drive for them so far.
Yeah.
Kick return and two penalties has put them on the 39 yeah. of Cardinal Gibbons.
Just don't be afraid to get hit.
Man in motion to the near side. He'll get the handoff. It's Hunter. He's got a blocker out there. Walton actually giving him some room with the block. Hunter still on his feet as he breaks away from two defenders. Gets across the 30-yard line. Takes a shot at the end of the play as he was falling down. Took it to the back of the helmet. He'll go over and say something to the ref about it as Hunter was a little bit upset about that hit that came in while he was pretty much on the ground
yep.
with his back of his helmet facing toward the end zone, and that's where the Cardinal Gibbons player came at the end and gave him a pretty good shot.
Yep. It looks like the umpire was mouthing right back the back judge, and I think there's some warnings going on to both sides here regarding all this talking.
6:41 to play in the fourth quarter. Cedar Ridge driving, though, as they convert another first down across the 30 to the 29. Here's the handoff. It'll go to Walton, and he doesn't get anything. Stopped at the line of scrimmage. In on the tackle for the Crusaders was Daniel McCrory, among others.
Yeah, for Cedar Ridge, they have to keep players healthy, and once again, Walter, it comes back to what they do have out there. It's a pretty solid unit. They just don't have a lot of them, and so often we see that quantity determines quality in high school football.
Pappas will pass this one. He's looking end zone, throws it to Walton, and he catches it. Touchdown! Cedar Ridge with a beautiful strike from 29 yards out with 6 minutes, 2 seconds to play. Pappas to Walton for the TD.
That was a pretty throw that time, and Walton found the soft spot in the zone that time, and he managed to haul that one in waist high with his back going to the goalpost, and third touchdown of the night by Cedar Ridge, and it was a pretty one.
And it'll be an extra point attempt on the way from Ferris. 6:02 to go. And taking a while to get the snap off. Here it comes. Kick is up, and it is through the uprights and good. 49-21. 6 minutes, 2 seconds to play. You're listening to High School Football on WCHL and Chapelboro.com.
I'm Edward Holmes, president of Cruisers Convenience Marketplace. By now, you've heard about our fountain drinks made with 100% filtered water served at a chilly 34 degrees with our chewy ice. They're guaranteed to taste great and only 79 cents every day. Right now, we're giving you the opportunity to win free fountain drinks for a year. Simply visit our Facebook page and look for the contest icon. Contest runs through September.
Cruisers, good to go.
You may already know that AT&T is the nation's fastest 4G LTE network. And now, independent third-party research has confirmed that AT&T is also the most reliable 4G LTE network. What does that mean for you? Whether you're connecting with family and friends, getting the job done at work, or simply looking for entertainment, you want a wireless network you can count on. That's why AT&T built the nation's fastest 4G LTE network. And we're not the only ones saying it. PC Magazine recently ranked AT&T's LTE network as the fastest overall, and PC World stated that AT&T's LTE service is the fastest 2 years running. Not surprisingly, that same lightning-fast network is now the most reliable as well. AT&T, the nation's fastest and now most reliable 4G LTE network. Rethink possible. AT&T reminds you to never text and drive. It can wait.
Speed claim compares national carriers' average 4G LTE download speeds. Reliability claim compares data transfer completion rates on nationwide 4G LTE networks. 4G LTE not available everywhere.
Back with you here at Cardinal Gibbons High School. The third touchdown of the night for Cedar Ridge makes it 49-21. And they're lining up for the onside kick. Ferris, well, he'll still squib it a little bit deeper than he has been recently. The ball bounces between the defender's legs, and it's down at the 20-yard line.
That was the deepest kick of the night.
Ends up being a decent deep kick for Ferris. Although they were lined up in the most obvious of onside kick formations that time, they go deepest. So that's how it goes. Stankavich along the sideline runs over to the offensive huddle for Cardinal Gibbons. I doubt he's coming back into the game, but I think he's just in there participating with the rest of the squad, trying to pump everybody up with 5:59 on the clock. We've seen DiMaggio here in the fourth quarter, leading the offense, and he will go out once again for the Crusaders.
Andrew Anglum that time recovered the kickoff for Cardinal Gibbons, trying to prevent a disaster that happened on the initial kickoff of the second half. That, as a matter of fact, the Cedar Ridge recovered.
So DiMaggio has four wide receivers, three to the near side as he moves left to right here on this first play of the drive. From the 20-yard line, 80 yards away from the end zone here. He pats his right leg twice, gets the snap. Ooh, it's a loose ball on the ground. He loses it, and Cedar Ridge may have recovered. Both teams diving on top of it, and the Red Wolves have it. 49-21, and now the Red Wolves have jumped onto the ball. Getting in there to recover it was Jeff Williams. The 210-pound senior alertly jumped on the ball, and DiMaggio did one of those things that when you lose the ball like that and you've got pressure coming, don't try and pick it back up and run with it. Just get on that ball. He tried to pick it back up, and it got knocked out of his hands again. And so Cedar Ridge springing back to life here. Now when you start looking at things, that extra touchdown there by Stankavich to stay in there and make it 49 points, you know, ends up being a little bit more of that cushion that they needed. Here's the handoff to Walton as he'll run to the left, gets to the middle of the field, but doesn't get back to the original line of scrimmage. And now we've got A little bit of frustration from Cedar Ridge after the play as Big 77 James Fowler got knocked down after the whistle and wasn't happy about it, but he smartly went back to the huddle rather than going after the Crusader player who hit him down.
These type of mistakes by Cardinal Gibbons will put them 21 points behind the best teams in this conference.
Yep, you're absolutely right. Too many turnovers and issues tonight. Not playing like champions even when they're in the lead. Got to learn how to play with the lead. Here's the throw from Pappas, looking for the end zone. He gets it to the receiver. Touchdown. I believe it is Murdy on the play for the catch.
Mm-hmm.
And he grabbed it, and he's in there to the end zone with 5:16 to go. Pappas with another touchdown pass. And just like that, it's 49-27. The extra point to make it 49-28.
That was a pretty read that time. And once again, Pappas, as usual, having to make the throw on the run. But it's something he's grown used to, and he's getting better and better at that.
The extra point will be on the way from Ferris. And it's only a
3-touchdown
deficit, yeah, if he makes this extra point, and he does so through the uprights. So, as Jeff told you, 21-point game now, 3-touchdown difference, and we've got flags at the end of the play as well, running into the kicker against Cedar Ridge. So that'll be enforced on the kickoff. Excuse me, against Cardinal Gibbons. That'll be enforced on the kickoff. 5:16 to play. Cedar Ridge trying to pull an impressive, what would be amazing, phenomenal comeback in the final quarter of this game. And we'll see what happens when we come back.
If you're looking for the kind of primary care you deserve, join the all-new Duke Integrative Primary Care Practice. For a modest annual fee, you will have expert physicians who give you all the time you need to discuss all the health concerns you have. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. To learn more or attend a free information session, visit DukeIntegrativeMedicine.org. Duke Integrative Primary Care. Transforming your health and your life. Only minutes from Chapel Hill, open to all and now accepting insurance.
I'm Walter Strold. He is Jeff Hamlin. Jeff, what do the stat sheets tell you tonight about tonight's game, and particularly for Cedar Ridge, what they've been able to do over the past couple of drives?
Well, they've managed to climb back, at least get within distance here. They wound up scoring back-to-back touchdowns. And overall here, let's take a look at what Mr. Pappas has done, 11 to 25 for 93 yards. And 3 touchdowns. The good news comes on the rushing end. Julius Walton almost at a season high in terms of rushing. And as a team now, Cedar Ridge has a season high in terms of rushing yardage as they've wound up with 111 yards on the night. And the roughing the kicker call is obviously going to make this an onside kick attempt. This onside kick will come at the Cedar Ridge, or rather the Cardinal Gibbons 45.
And instead, Ferris will boot it deep into the end zone. I guess they're going to say, hey, we've got this Cardinal Gibbons Crusader offense's number right now, as we've been forcing them into some turnovers and some bad plays. Why don't we go ahead and put them on the 20-yard line, and if we can stop them in 3 plays, we can get the ball back with good field position.
Well, you got to make a game out of this. I guess the coaches just feel like they don't have the manpower to complete this comeback, and clearly Cedar Ridge feels that way as DiMaggio goes back in. Stankavich actually was out on the field for just a moment, but now he goes back to the sidelines.
I guess he lost the rock, paper, scissors duel.
Yes. There was a rumor, actually, about something like that Monday night.
Heard about that. Broncos, a couple of teams just not good enough to compete with the Broncos. Here's the handoff to David Smith. He is running all the way down the left side of the field. There is no one near him. He has one man to beat down the sideline. He's all the way to the end zone, but there are flags all the way back at the 28-yard line as he got a hold or a block in the back that was able to spring him for all that room along the left side. Disappointing for David Smith, who's been a very patient runner tonight for this Crusaders team and finally was able to bust a real big one there, but he did it with some illegal help.
I don't know if I've ever seen a team, as this hold indeed is going to bring this play back, I don't know if I've ever seen a team look so crisp on its first 5 drives, and on every drive afterward, looked so sloppy for the rest of the game.
Pretty much every, there was the one drive,
yeah,
that got them to 49. They looked back to that old form.
This is going to be the 11th penalty against Cardinal Gibbons in this game.
Wow.
And they're now at 122 yards in penalties.
And the penalties have wiped out what have otherwise been,
yeah,
big plays. which has been unfortunate for them as well.
That pick six that Pappas wound up throwing really weighs in big now.
Yep. So there's only five minutes on the clock. Exactly. 49-28 the score. Still three timeouts left for Cedar Ridge as well. Saving those up probably in case they can somehow get a turnover here or get the ball back. It'll be another handoff to David Smith. He's going to run to the right side this time, picking his holes. Cuts it up the middle, and he's got room to the 40-yard line. 45, 50, 45 in Cedar Ridge territory, and finally hammered out of bounds at the 36-yard line. David Smith said if that had been his first run of the possession, he would have been in the end zone because he just ran 80 yards and had to run all the way back down the field to get to the huddle. You see, as he got across midfield, he just ran out of gas and said, just hit me. It gets taken out at the 36-yard line. But nonetheless, a fantastic run for David Smith.
No question about it. And Smith took it all the way to the 36, as you mentioned, Walter. And it stands to be a gain of 41 on the play.
Beautiful run. Biggest run of the night for Cardinal Gibbons. And DiMaggio in there at quarterback. Takes the snap. And he'll keep it himself after using the option, gets to the 30-yard line, 25-20. Tackle there. In on the tackle for Cedar Ridge was Dante Scott, the sophomore defensive back, able to chase him down, but it's another first down.
You can see why DiMaggio was someone who was under consideration to replace Stankavage, or at least be the starter for this team, because he's like a shorter version of Stankavage, but they're very similar in terms of how they operate at quarterback. They very much have good arms, and they both are very lanky and have good speed down the field, know how to operate the zone read.
He has seemed poised other than the fumble that led to a Cedar Ridge touchdown. He'll keep it himself as he rolls out to the left side, turns it up the field across the 15, 10, 5, and he reaches the ball across the end zone for the touchdown as he made that look pretty easy, scampering out to the left side of the field. And that will break the 50-point barrier for the Crusaders as they get to 55 now. 55-28, that erases all hopes of a Cedar Ridge comeback with 3:50 to play.
Yeah, that was all Stankavage and Evans right there, or excuse me, that was DiMaggio and Evans right there, simply getting it done on the ground, and that wasn't any throwing the ball down the field or anything like that. At some point as a defense, you have to stop the offense regardless of who's in there, and that's not what Cedar Ridge did.
Stankavage gets the snap for the extra point. The kick is up there, and it is good. 3:50 to play. 55-28 is our score. You're listening to High School Football on WCHL and Chapelboro.com.
If you've been hassling with glasses and contacts for years, why wait any longer? At Carolina Ophthalmology, we've been performing LASIK eye correction here in Chapel Hill for 17 years. At your free consultation with Dr. James Bryan, he will answer your questions and evaluate whether LASIK is right for you. Take our LASIK self-test at carolina2020.com. Call us today, 919-945-EYES. Why wait any longer?
When you think of Harrington Bank, do you think green? No, not that kind of green, sustainability green. At Harrington Bank, we're the first bank in the nation to earn Green Plus certification. And the Chapel Hill Carrboro Chamber of Commerce has just selected us Sustainable Business of the Year. For Harrington Bank, going green is a smart business decision that strengthens our local economy, environment, and community. Stop by one of our three convenient locations in Chapel Hill. Harrington Bank, you deserve banking like this.
It is 56-28, 3:50 to play in the fourth quarter. Crusaders on top of the Red Wolves.
If you've been
here.
Oh, who's that?
I don't know.
Is she going to do play-by-play?
Here from Cardinal Gibbons High School. Absolutely beautiful field, beautiful stadium here. Jeff, score updates from across the area. Will you have some of those for us after the kickoff?
Yes. First we'll let Mr. Loy do his work.
And it's a good kick down the field to the 5-yard line, stepping back to the 4 to receive it on the play. Not your usual return man back there for Cedar Ridge. Instead, back there, it's Elijah Richardson. And the 140-pounder gets snowed under back inside the 10-yard line after he tried to backtrack a little bit. Richardson getting some experience back there as a return man. And the ball will be marked at the 13-yard line. That's where Cedar Ridge will begin its possession.
East Chapel Hill got on the board against Randleman. So now Randleman leads 28-7. So the Wildcats will fall on that one. Pinecrest has defeated the Jordan Falcons tonight 55-7. And Lewisburg leads Southern Vance 30-14.
Not a lot of whopper matchups out there in terms of conference play for the first week of the season. Here's a handoff as, again, fresh faces are in there for Cedar Ridge. Wow, some good bull running there from Dante Scott. Normally see him as a defensive back, but the 5'11", 220-pound sophomore put a hurting on a couple of Crusader defenders there as he ran with some purpose on his first carry of the game.
Well, Scott's had a couple of big plays in this game. He recovered that kick that basically turned into an onside kick earlier on. Yeah. And we have
a false start
to kill the play, actually.
So we'll wipe that out. The flag landed on the yellow line in the middle of the field. That's why we couldn't see it.
Yeah.
Blended in.
It turns, as Walter mentions, it turns into a coloring board, basically, in the red zone.
It's pretty confusing.
Looks like those old NCAA Final Fours where it looks like a drunk painter designed the court.
Well, football's okay, but and soccer's okay because, you know, you can kind of tell the shape of soccer. But the other sports that are marked out there, the field hockey and the lacrosse circles and such, you'd have a tough time as a lacrosse player identifying where you were on the field.
That's how Scott Stadium used to look like back in the 80s when they had AstroTurf.
Here's the snap as Cedar Ridge will go to work on 1st and 15 now. And the handoff again will go to Dante Scott, but he didn't have much room on this play to operate with. 3 minutes and 19 seconds to play. Second down and 15 now after no gain on the play.
So Cedar Ridge goes home next week. This will end a three-game road trip for them, and they will take on Northwood. And at last report, Northwood down to Orange. And next week, Chapel Hill will be back at home to take on Southern Durham, who just pounded Northern Vance tonight. And East Chapel Hill will play its first conference game. They will take on the Riverside Pirates of Coach David Hackney.
Second down, here's the snap, another handoff, and nothing doing yet again. Lucky to get back to the line of scrimmage on the play was Scott. And since we're only, as we estimated earlier in the broadcast, a half a mile away, within sight we can see the PNC Arena from here, where the Hurricanes were playing the Buffalo Sabres tonight.
We can also see Carter Finley Stadium
as
well. That's right.
Yeah. And the Hurricanes won tonight, 1-0 in their final preseason game.
And they'll be cranking up next week, looking for the playoffs for Coach Kurt Muller.
It's going to be a fun year of hockey. I'm excited for it.
No, you're excited about the Devils, at least.
Yep. I like the Hurricanes, of course, too.
Sure.
Here is the handoff. Oof. Again, it goes to Scott. He takes the brunt of two Crusader shoulders, and it's going to bring up fourth down and 15. Three straight no-gain plays makes it fourth and 15. With under 2 minutes to play, and Ferris will come in to punt it away, and then Crusader should be able to just end this game by running it up the middle or taking some knees. And believe it or not, this is the worst position that Ferris has been in for his punting prowess tonight. How many times has he punted tonight?
I'll be able to tell you in just a second after this one. He's had a busy night, though, needless to say.
And they've all been pretty good.
Yeah.
He hasn't had any that have shanked off to the side. They've all been good hang time, good distance, good rolls. This one, he has a lot of pressure as the snap was well to his side. It's a good kick that bounces at the 40, spits forward into Cardinal Gibbons territory. Nobody back there to receive it, and it dies on the 42. So Cardinal Gibbons will get it on its own 42-yard line, but a very good punt for Ferris once again under pressure, able to get rid of it.
Ferris might deserve the Player of the Game award. Let's see. Well, we don't have the punting stats there. Let's see. Leaders in terms of punts.
It's not a stat you have to look up very often.
No, it's not.
No one usually says, how many times have they punted tonight? How many yards has he been able
to punt?
He's punted halfway around the equator.
That's right. He has punted from here to the country of Sudan.
Maybe realistically he's punted to the PNC Arena.
That's true. Actually, you line up seven punts in a row, you can get there based on his difference, that distance.
It'd be pretty close.
Let's say it's been eight, and I'd say that's pretty. Well, let's count, actually. We can count. Let's see. He had one, two,
as a
three.
A kneel takes place.
Four,
on first
five, down. Six, seven, eight, nine. So he's had nine punts.
At an average of,
let's say 45 yards. So 40 yards is 120 feet per shot. So you take eight of those.
How many did he have? He had eight?
He had eight of those. So 120 feet times eight Would that get us to the RBC, the PNC Arena?
That's just under 1,000 feet. Let's call just it under 1,000 feet. So it's,
okay.
It's not quite
that would get us out of the parking lot.
Yeah.
That would get us back on the road toward 40.
Would be, which would be good.
That's solid. Is that enough to earn a player of the game honors is what I want to know.
I don't know. I think I'd have to, if you're going to pick a player from Cedar Ridge, as another kneel has taken place, and that's going to wind the clock down. 13 seconds and counting, and it will wind down. The players will meet at midfield to shake hands in 7 seconds. 56-28 is going to be the final score tonight. Crusaders improve to 4-1 on the season. Cedar Ridge drops to 0-5. Cedar Ridge 0-1 in the conference, and the Crusaders are 1-0 in conference play. We'll come back and wrap things up here from Raleigh. In 2 minutes, we'll talk about those players of the game, and we'll also look forward to next week and recap what happened here this evening. Final score, once again, 56-28. Crusaders beat the Red Wolves.
Mark Vitale's All About Insurance Agency has taken care of families and businesses in Chapel Hill since 1993. All About Insurance carries every line of insurance you and your family would need. Auto, home, renters, commercial insurance for businesses large and small, life insurance and 401k plans, plus health care insurance. In fact, All About Insurance carries the absolute lowest rates for new young drivers. So call AAI today at 919-933-4000 or go online at allaboutinsurancenc.com.
This is Kit Ballew of Franklin Street Realty.
And I'm Sammy Martin. You know, Kit, a lot of people look at buying or selling a house as a competition where there is a clear winner and a clear loser.
I know what you mean, but in my experience...
And that would be vast.
The best deals are the ones where the sellers feel they didn't get quite enough and the buyers are sure they paid a little too much.
So not like the sleazeball in the tailored suit on Bravo's million-dollar listing, the one who says, you haven't done anything right until someone wants you dead. Geez, at Franklin Street Realty, our agents simply do not let ego get in the way. In fact, the men were selected for low testosterone levels.
Oh, Sammy, don't sell yourself short. The truth is, you don't have to read The Art of War to be a good negotiator. You need focus, experience, and flexibility, what you get from our agents. Plus, even the talking heads have come around to our position. There has never been a better time to buy a house, period.
Lower asking prices, lower interest rates, a lot to choose from. Find your new house at franklinstreetrealty.com.
Franklin Street Realty. Why would you call anyone else?
Time for school means time for school sports to begin. If your child needs a sports physical to play, UNC Family Medicine is here for you. UNC Family Medicine can get you in and out quickly so your young athlete can get back to the field. You'll be cared for by the same physicians and staff that work with UNC teams and the Chapel Hill Carrboro High School teams. Make your appointment now at uncfamilymedicine.org. Just another way that UNC Family Medicine is caring for the course of your life.
Walter Shoreholt and Jeff Hamlin wrapping things up here from Cardinal Gibbons High School as they celebrate the victory tonight with their alma mater and victory song along the sideline. It's like a college here. It's pretty awesome. The pregame atmosphere they had tonight and being homecoming added to the festivities as well. And Cedar Ridge takes home a tough loss tonight, but a lot of positive to pull away from this game. 56-28 is your final score. The number of cheerleaders for Cardinal Gibbons outnumbers the amount of players that Cedar Ridge had. I mean, when you compare the two piles, the two gatherings between the two squads, there are more cheerleaders. So that just gives you the idea of the manpower that Cedar Ridge is dealing with. Just tells you the numbers of how many players are playing both ways, but they can hold their heads high after tonight's game.
Yeah, no question about that, Walter. And there were some players in this game for Cedar Ridge that worked very hard in trying to make things as solid as they could. Julius Walton came away with 60 yards rushing. That's just shy of 61 yards. That was his season high earlier this year against Southern Vance. Passing the ball, Peyton Pappas was 11 of 25 for 93 yards and three touchdowns. And Chris McCoy had a good game. Two receptions, 43 yards and a touchdown. Julius Walton also had 32 yards receiving, and he caught three balls for a touchdown. So Walton wound up with 92 all-purpose yards. The bad news for Cedar Ridge was that they gave up touchdowns in their first five drives. And Cardinal Gibbons looked like an offensive machine to start this game. It's going to be interesting to see how more physical defenses stand up to this Cardinal Gibbons front, which is just so finesse-oriented offensively as this year goes on. We're going to find out very soon because Gibbons has got some tests ahead.
Players of the game, I think Stan Kavich, probably the obvious one for the Crusaders. For Cedar Ridge, I'd give the nod to Walton.
Yeah.
I think for good play on both sides of the ball, talk about players going both ways and playing special teams.
Mm-hmm.
Walton was one of those players. He had good hard running, helped move that Cedar Ridge offense a little bit, and he had a couple of big defensive plays as well, including an interception. So he did well on the defensive side of the ball also. That does it for us here tonight. Again, the final score, 56-28. Crusaders able to beat the Cedar Ridge Red Wolves. We want to remind you that high school football on WCHL and Chapelboro.com, both of our games of the week each week, brought to you and made possible by Mark Vitale Nationwide Insurance in Chapel Hill and in Hillsboro, AAI Nationwide Insurance. Jeff, thank you very much, sir. Appreciate
thank you, Walter. Great job.
It was lots of fun. Enjoyed being up here on the roof at Cardinal Gibbons Stadium and at the high school. Really enjoyed the hospitality they gave us as well, and all the fun festivities.
Ragsdale beats East Chapel Hill 28-7, and next week East will be in its Pac-6 conference opener when they go up against the Riverside Pirates.
And that should be a good contest between those two teams. Look forward to that broadcasting, that contest. We'll talk to you next week on our Game of the Week. Stay tuned to WCHL and Chapelboro.com to find out which two games will be broadcast next week. They'll let you know throughout the weekend. They'll get you prepared on the grid as well. So you can go to chapelboro.com right now and download the grid, listen to it online to find out some more about all the different high school area teams, hear interviews with coaches and the likes. That happens each week. The grid can also be heard before high school football coverage on WCHL as well. So lots of great content there. Also, both broadcasts tonight will be downloadable really within minutes from our conclusion here on the broadcast. Alex Curley does a great job of getting those posted up on the website very quickly. So go to chapelboro.com and you can hear the replays in their entirety, not only from tonight's games, but also from games from earlier on in the season as well. That'll do it for us tonight. Again, the final score, 56-28. Crusaders with the win over the Red Wolves. For Jeff Hamlin and the rest of our broadcast team, I'm Walter Storholt. We'll talk to you next week on high school football on WCHL and chapelboro.com.